Hey, you're listening to WSCA 106.1 FM. It is 12 o'clock, which means it is time for Seacoast Business Connections Radio Show. I am your host, Mark Miller. I want to remind you guys that the views expressed on this program are those of the individuals who speak them and not necessarily of Portsmouth Community Radio, its Board of Trustees, members, volunteers, or underwriters. Also, please find us on Facebook. Type in Seacoast Business Connections Radio Show on Facebook. Like that page, become a fan of ours, and we will put podcasts of shows up after they air. So if you miss something or if you miss a show and you wanted to hear it, you can catch that podcast off of the Facebook page. Also, we try and update you with upcoming shows when we can on that as well, so it'll give you an idea of what's going on here. So please find us, Facebook, Seacoast Business Connections Radio Show, and like us. In studio with me today, I have a guest, Diane Durkin, who is president of the Loyalty Factor. And she's going to talk to us a little bit about how to build loyalty with your employees. And she's got a couple books out that cover that and leadership and a few other things. So we're going to have a talk with her and find out what she is all about coming right up. So without further ado, I want to introduce Diane. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are
Excellent.
You?
Excellent. I'm very good. How is your, everybody's coming back off of this Thanksgiving holiday here, right? Yeah. Winding back into the work day. I don't know if I was ready for it. Did you, how was your Thanksgiving? Good?
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Did you guys do anything special or?
Actually, I went down to Florida for a few days and played golf and had a grand time.
Okay. That is the best Thanksgiving story I've heard. I've heard, you know, oh, we had to get in the car and travel for 6 hours and, you know, and then cook dinner and all that kind of stuff. I thought I was doing good because I drove 20 minutes from here and somebody else cooked dinner. But golf in Florida?
Golf in Florida. I flew home Thanksgiving morning and went to friends, so I didn't have to cook. I didn't have to do anything. It was great.
We have a winner.
Yeah.
You have the best Thanksgiving. So how was your golf game? Was it good?
Actually, it was really good. I tried out my new 5-wood.
It just gets better and better.
Love my new 5-wood.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really, really played well. So
good.
I'm very excited.
Well, we can tell you're a business person because if you're that excited about golf, then, you know, only business people, right?
Well, I don't know.
And retired people and I don't know. So good. Anything else? Weekend?
I'm far from retired.
Yeah. Well, that's who's out on the course. Business people, because they can make an excuse, especially during the weekday, they can make an excuse to be out there, and then retired people, because they're retired. They can do whatever they want.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I wish I was retired. So I want to talk to you a little bit. You and I met at a midday meet, which I'm going to talk about later on today, in our community calendar for the Chamber of Commerce. And we did our thing where we told the whole group about what we do. And you have an interesting background, because you were in the sort of corporate environment for quite a while, right?
Oh, I was in the corporate environment for a number of years, yeah.
Okay.
I was a vice president of sales, vice president of marketing, a corporate sales training manager, and then a number of years ago, actually about 15 years ago, decided to leave corporate America and start my own business.
Wow.
And it's called the Loyalty Factor, and we specialize in building employee loyalty, customer loyalty, and brand loyalty.
So before we get too deep into that, when you were in this corporate environment, did you always kind of have in the back of your head that you wanted to branch out and do something like this on your own? I'm always curious when I talk to people with that entrepreneurial kind of drive, like you obviously have, somewhere that spark has to kind of start. And it's usually not a spark and an explosion and you're on your way. It's usually kind of you're thinking about it for a while. Is that the case with you?
I had thought about it. My father was an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And then the jobs that I had were very entrepreneurial in nature, actually. I was with Digital Equipment Corporation, and I used to get involved with any new project that was coming along.
Okay.
The word on the street was, hey, if you're going after a new market or if you're going after a new sales channel, call Diane. She'll set up the plan for you. She'll get it all moving for you. So I had that entrepreneurial spirit within a large corporation.
Sure.
And I had a new job every 2 years, which worked out great because the minute I got things rolling, I'd go off and do something else. I'd get that rolling.
And that suited you. Did you kind of get like a little bored maybe? Like, okay, I've done this. I feel like I've covered it. I don't want to get into the
right.
Once like I the get doldrum of the work. I want to go do it again.
Yeah.
Once I got it set up,
I was like, okay, this can run smoothly. Put the nice bow on it. Right. Let it tie up pretty and move on to
anymore.
The next one.
Yeah. Right. I'll go somewhere else. Oh, you're probably just always looking for that kind of that uncertainty and that thrill of having to pull something together without quite No one. Yeah. I'm with you. My job is very much like that right now too. So I get it. So you're in this, you're in the corporate world, and you've got this entrepreneurial job. So really what you have is a very good and a very financially safe training ground, right? Because you're not really yet taking the big financial risks
right.
that an entrepreneur would. But you're learning a lot of the skills.
I'm learning all the skills and practicing the skills and really getting a huge, great base of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly with my background, because I had sales, I had marketing, I had training and development.
Wonderful,
I had a finance background. So one day somebody said to me, you know, you really ought to take all of your skills, package them together, and go out in the consulting world.
Yeah.
And that's scary.
I bet it is. Yeah, yeah. Well, all that, I mean, we just talked about that financial certainty that you have sort of in your pocket when you're in a corporate environment like that. And nothing's certain, you know, understand that this could happen or that could happen, but it's not like being an entrepreneur, you know. That's really, you know, thus entrepreneurship, right? Risk.
Right.
So somebody comes up to you and says, hey, you got to take this show on the road. You know, it's time that you go out and you do this yourself. What were the challenges that you immediately sort of identified and faced to, you know, of making that transition from going to the corporate world, going to a steady-ish paycheck, into doing it all yourself and trying to figure out where the money's going to come from? And I mean, assume at this point, if you've been in the corporate world for a while, you've got, you know, bills, big, you know, adult bills. I think if you try to be an entrepreneur at 20, you know, right. it's easier, but you've got adult bills. Maybe you have a family. I don't know, you know, what your background is, but what were those challenges that you were facing?
Well, I think, you know, I'm a calculated risk taker. So in my calculated risk fashion, I made sure I had a client before I left the corporate world. So I had the safety net. I had the first client signed up, and then that led to numerous other clients and so forth. And so it just took off from there. But I wanted to make sure that I had at least that safety net there.
So there's a period of time when you're probably working, somebody's put this idea in your head in a real solid way, and you sought out, you know,
right.
this first client.
Well, actually, a friend of mine called me and said, hey, I have a feeling this company could really use your skills. Why don't you give this guy a call and, you know, see if you might be able to work something out. And we actually did work something out. And here I am 15 years later.
So 15 years. So that puts you into you probably got kind of established, and then we had this little shakiness in the economy. Were you sort of set when that came up, or did that, did you drop back a little bit? Like, how did that affect you?
We've been very fortunate in that, we have not really seen the economic, changes. What has happened is every time we, thought, well, the economy is going to affect this industry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, initially we started off with technology companies, and then I said, ooh, I think the technology sector is going to take a hit.
Yeah.
So we went into pharmaceuticals, and then we went into healthcare and financial services.
Yeah.
And we've just, we've actually been able to move very well with the economy. You know, a lot of manufacturing companies that are doing really well right now. There are some, believe it or not, that are really doing well. I mean, we've been very, very fortunate in being able to uncover the stones and uncover the industries that have done well and continue to do well.
Right. Good. Well, going back to that moment of deciding to go out on your own, you know, if there's somebody listening right now that's maybe they're working, they're doing the same thing that you were doing, and they kind of have this idea, what are the things that you really think that they need to look at and have in place before they make a move?
I think the number one thing is to really understand what you're really good at.
Mm.
What are you really good at, and what do you enjoy doing? Just because you're good at something doesn't necessarily mean you enjoy it.
That's
at the same
point.
Time, if you enjoy it, it doesn't necessarily mean you're good at it. So the two have to match.
Gotcha.
What you're good at and what you really enjoy doing.
So what was that for you? Like, give us the example for you that you...
I mean, I really enjoy managing and helping people and solving problems.
Okay.
So for me, going into a company that's, you know, looking at how can we grow and helping them solve that problem was really key. And then I also love sharing my knowledge. So the training aspect and standing up and sharing what I know and the other thing is you've got to, that's my number one point. And the second point is to really continually learn and grow. No matter what you're good at, there's going to be somebody else that's going to come along and do something better than you and the way you're doing it. So you've got to be at the cutting edge.
Gotcha.
And you've got to be thinking in terms of, all right, what can I do next? How am I going to change next?
Right.
What's going to be my differentiating factor? So you can't stay, you know, say, well, oh, I'm really good at this and this is what I'm going to do. You've got to continually change
continue
and evolve.
You know what I like about what you just said about that? If we kind of think about, you know, the discussion from to this point is that you're in the corporate environment and you're sort of moving from thing to thing to thing in the corporate environment. You're reinventing yourself every 2 years, as you said, right, roughly speaking. And then you have this idea, you know, this sort of itch to get out and do it on your own. A couple people support it and you go out and do it on your own. It sounds like what you're saying is that once you step into that entrepreneurial role, you can't lose that. You've got to hang on to that. You've got to hang on to that idea that you're going to continually reinvent yourself, that you've got to have that itch to do something new and better. Otherwise, you stagnate. And somebody else comes along and swoops in and
you
takes
said
it over.
You said it exactly. You'll stagnate and you're going to lose market share. You're going to lose your edge. And somebody else is going to come along who's younger, better, and is going to do it. Is going to do what you're doing.
Hmm. Well, and I wonder, you know, thinking about one thing, goal I have in the show is for some bit of advice or some idea to come out in every show that a business person out there could use. And even if you're not an entrepreneur, I think that's solid. You know what I mean? That if every once in a while, maybe step back and say, how can I do what I'm doing different and better? You know, even if you're in the same job, you know, you kind of had the fortune of switching from job to job to job. But even if you're doing the same job all the time, and even if it is for a company, you know, it's not an entrepreneurial situation, why not reinvent yourself? You know, why not bring a fresh look to it, you know?
Well, that's what everybody has to do. They have to continue to grow, continue to develop. Otherwise, you're going to die.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that simple. I mean, you see this all the time. If companies aren't growing and diversifying, they die.
Yeah.
If people aren't growing and diversifying, they die an early age. You know, I believe, I mean, there's people out there that live to, you know, I met a woman Thanksgiving Day, actually, at a friend's house. She was 91 years old.
Whoa.
And she was so sharp and so
vibrant.
Bright and vibrant. I mean, it was unbelievable. And it's because, you know, she stays up to date on all this stuff that's going on all the time. And she's growing.
She's still active.
Very active. And that's what people have to do. You got to stay active. You got to keep your brain working.
You know, it's funny because I was thinking about this morning, and everybody's kind of looking for that fountain of youth, right? People find it in all sorts of different places. I think exercise is probably, you know, one of the factors in there. But I was actually thinking about the learning, you know, just the aspect of learning. And I really think people who take on new challenges are constantly learning. They stay young. And it's almost like a reminder to the mind of what it was like to be young. Because when you're a child, obviously your mind's like, you know, it's like a sponge. You're much more malleable at that age, and you're just taking everything in, and you have this, you know, your brain is just ready to learn. But you can kind of stay there to a degree.
Yeah.
And I think that you might be onto something that really, you know, people who you see working and vibrant and productive into their older age, it's because of that desire. And I'm not a doctor, but maybe you can stretch that and say it keeps them going. Look at Andy Rooney, right?
Yeah.
I'm done with work.
That's right.
What it wasn't a week later, even.
I know.
And he passed away, you know, unfortunately. Probably would have been nice for him to retire, but he was done. And when he was done, he was done. He was done. He was done, you know.
Yeah,
so I wonder if there is something to that.
I always say, surround yourself with young people because they have the vibrancy. They're gonna keep you young.
Mm.
And if you talk to grandparents, they'll even say, "My grandkids keep me young."
Yeah, that's true.
That's what they all say, and that's what it's all about: is staying young and vibrant and active, and keep that brain moving.
I like it. I like it a lot. All right. Well, we're here. We're talking with Diane Durkin of Loyalty Factor LLC. We've been discussing with her how she spent many years in the corporate environment and then finally broke out on her own into a consultative role, really. Your consultant would be a real blanket way of explaining what you do. And that's kind of branched into a bunch of other things. Is that fair?
Well, we're a consulting and a training company.
Okay.
We have two divisions. On the consulting side, we deal with anything that has to do with major change. It could be a merger and acquisition, a repositioning of a company for growth, a company that may be having some customer problems, employee problems, something of that nature that needs to get on the right track, or a new manager or president or vice president or department manager coming into an organization and feels like they need to make some changes within that organization. For example, we're talking to a company right now that it's about 180-person organization, and they just bought another company that's 140-person organization, and they need to, you know, build the cultures, integrate their processes and procedures. And that's a, you know, a major change initiative. Because what most people don't realize is that right now about 85% of all the mergers and acquisitions that take place don't really meet the expectations that were set up in the initial
plan.
And so this person, I mean, he's really bright, and he clearly recognizes that. He says, I don't want to be part of that 85%. What do I need to do? What do I need to do? How do I need to do it? I want to make it right. And, you know, so that's a great opportunity.
Sure. Well, listen, we have to take a quick break. I've got to do some weather, and then we'll come back and we'll continue talking about, I want to hear more about your consulting business and about how you help companies in these different situations where they are trying to merge, or, you know, maybe they're just feeling like they're stagnating in terms of their management and their training and all that kind of stuff. And then also you've got a couple of books under your belt that you've written. I want to talk about that because I think that's interesting. One, that you've done that you've accomplished that. It sounds like you took the reins when you did that and were involved in a lot of the process of doing that. But also I think it's interesting from a marketing standpoint when people start to look outside of the normal things and they really take these big leaps and do some interesting things. So we'll talk about that when we come back. But I want to get into a little bit of weather here. This afternoon will be mostly cloudy with a high near 61, west winds between 6 and 9 miles per hour. Tonight, areas of fog, otherwise mostly cloudy with a low around 47. The winds will be calm. Tuesday, a slight chance of showers after 4 p.m., areas of fog before 9 p.m., otherwise cloudy with a high near 55. Tuesday night, occasional rain, low around 50, east wind between 6 and 13 miles an hour. Wednesday, rain likely, possible thunderstorms before 9 a.m., then a chance of rain and thunder showers between 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. Slight chance of rain after 1 p.m. as well. Mostly cloudy with a high near 56. Wednesday night, slight chance of showers. Mostly cloudy, low around 39. And then Thursday is sunny with a high near 52. Thursday night, mostly clear with a low around 32. Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 47. Friday night, clouds with a low around 32. Saturday, mostly sunny, high near 45. Saturday night, clouds with a low around 27, and Sunday looks like it's going to be partly sunny with a high near 45. So cooling off a little bit, but the good weather that we've been seeing for the past week or so is going to stick around. I like it. All right, well, we're here talking with Diane Durkin, president of The Loyalty Factor. Diane started her career in the corporate world and about 15 years ago broke out on her own, started a consulting business called The Loyalty Factor, and she has been helping other businesses with their management and training ever since.
Exactly.
Good?
Yep.
See, as I go on, I get more and more concise with the way I say it. All right, so... You know, when you first started, it was kind of you and this one client, right?
Right.
And now, and you keep using we, so I assume your company's grown beyond yourself at
this
point.
There's about 10 of us right now.
There's about 10 of you. And are you the only person that actually does consulting and everybody else is administrative, or have you brought on other consultants?
Oh, no, we have other consultants that work with us. Yeah, and they do the consulting. They help me with the consulting side, but they also do a lot of our training programs for us. Because on our training side, we're very, very well known for our customer relationships training and our leadership development programs.
Okay.
And so we've got instructors that have been with me for 10, 12 years who do the customer relationships and the leadership development training. I mean, I still do a lot of it myself as well. But they're very, very qualified and really do a great job. And all of our stuff is customized, so they get to know the client. Once the client gets to know them, they like to keep the same person. And
so when you say it's customized, you don't bring them a canned class that you say, we're going to put you through this. You come in, you sit down, and you actually discuss their needs, and then you come up with a custom plan based on everybody's experience that will help them. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, we have certain modules, and obviously we've been doing this for 15 years.
Yeah.
So we will take bits and pieces. Like, for example, in my leadership development program, we've got about 35 modules. So I can pick and choose information based upon the particular needs of that particular client. You know, how much experience their people have had, what programs they offered in the past, so that we complement them as opposed to necessarily just repeating everything.
And who's that process with when you're talking to it? Is that usually the owner or the manager in charge of that department, or who are you working with to really come up with that plan?
Well, it varies. It could be on the leadership side, a lot of it is the human resources department. Mm-hmm. On the customer relationship side, we deal with the call center manager, the inside sales person, the services manager. In some smaller companies, we deal directly with the CEO and president.
So, you know, imagine that I'm a mid-sized company. I've got a demand gen group that's doing outbound calling, right? And I feel like they've stagnated. They've had some training, you know. Obviously they have all the product training they need. They've had some basic sales training, maybe like sales on the line, you know, some other, you know, further training like that. But I really want you to come in and revitalize this group. I feel like maybe as a manager, I've given them everything that they want. What sort of things are you going to offer to me? And you know, without going into too much detail, like what kind of new things are these guys going to learn that is going to revitalize them?
Well, first of all, our programs all deal with starting from the inside and working out.
Okay.
So a lot of the programs we'll talk about, okay, how do they come across? What's their style? And one of the first things we have to do, especially in your case where you just talked about that they need some motivation.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first things I ask them, why is this company so lucky to have you? A lot of people, we got to build them up.
Right.
They forget. And sometimes the company doesn't do enough rewards, recognition, or appreciation of their people to really understand, to help them understand that they really are valued. So I need to make those people feel valued. So what is it about them that makes them so good, and why this company is so, so lucky to have them? And then we talk about, well, what is it about the company? What is so good about that company that everybody in the world would want to do business there? Then we marry the two in what I call wow statements or value statements. You can call them whatever you'd like, but I love to call them wow statements. And then we look at how do we execute those wow statements. Then we look at how do we get to know ourselves? What makes us tick? What are our strengths? How would people describe us? What is it about other people that absolutely drives us crazy? And there's certain things.
Sure.
And then under pressure, what happens? How do you act or react? Because a lot of times people are in a pressure environment. Mm. And when they're in a pressure environment, they might not be the nice person you may know on the street. So we bring that to bear, and it really is enlightening for people. Mm. And they just love it. They go crazy. Oh, my gosh. And then we say, okay, so now that you understand yourself, let's talk about how are you going to act or react when that person that you're calling or disturbing is being arrogant or being frustrated or being angry at you and wants to hang up on you. How can you meld that and make that work? And we get into a whole bunch of concepts called NLP, Neuro-Linguistic Programming techniques of how to do that. And many people have never practiced that.
Sure.
And they're like, oh my gosh, this stuff really works. So we get into that, and then we talk about listening skills. And we don't do the traditional listening. It's like, what's the empathetic listening issue here?
Mm-hmm.
And what is it? And then I always tell my people, questions are your secret weapon.
Yep.
All right. And many people ask a ton of questions, but they're all closed-ended questions. Right. When you ask these closed-ended questions, what ends up happening? People get backed into a corner. They feel like they're being interrogated instead of communicated with. And it's all about communicating with people, bringing that connection, building that rapport. And so our program is all about building the connection, building the rapport, by knowing yourself first and then understanding other people, what makes other people tick. So that's in a nutshell. Now, there's also a section that we do where sometimes you have to give a customer or a potential client bad news.
Right.
How do you do that in a nice way? You know, I can't get out there tomorrow, or I don't have a service person that can address this until next week. How do you address those types of situations in a way that you're not going to lose that customer, and in a way that that customer is going to feel like they're taken care of, they're cared for, and you're genuinely concerned about their situation?
So there's a couple of things. We've got about 5 minutes here, and then we're going to take a quick break. But there's a couple of things that you've said that have really kind of hit home, I think. And one of them, I've always said that you don't know anybody until you've seen them in adversity, right? Once you've seen how they react to the bad situation, and the way that you put it was, how do they react under pressure? And I think that's when you know somebody. Everybody is a nice guy when everything is going well. Everybody gets along when everything's going well. And for me as a consumer, I'm actually looking for that out of my, you know, maybe it's because you and I have a bit of a similar background in terms of what we've done and the knowledge that we have here. So maybe it comes out of that, and you may be the same way. But I'm like, you know, it could be anything. It could be my cable company. It could be whatever. I'm happy with them, you know, if they're good to me and all that. But I want to see how they react when things go awry, because they will. It's realistic. They're gonna go bad. And I think that it's very interesting that you call people out on the carpet, so to speak, you know, and say, hey, how do you react when things go bad? Because that's really who's defined you, for one. And it also is going to define how this is all going to go. Anybody can get on this phone, and if the guy on the other end is all smiles and agreeable, you can do it, right?
Right.
Who can't do that? But that's not the reality of it. And the reality of it is that no matter how professional we are, you know, we all have those little chords that people can hit, and they can say the right thing or react a way in which it really puts us off of our professional game. So being aware of that.
Okay. Well, it really gets people thinking about, you know, well, gee, I've never been asked
that
question.
Yeah.
Never been thought about it.
Yeah.
And then, so we ask them the question, they think about it, and then we give them an assessment that proves it out. And then they say, oh my gosh, this is so me.
Yep.
This is exactly me.
Yep. So let's take a break here in a second. But when we come back, we're talking to Diane Durkin of Loyalty Factor, and we kind of have gone over her beginnings in the corporate world, and then about 15 years ago, she broke out on her own to do consulting in this management and training sort of field. One of the things, Diane, that I really want you to define for the listeners is this NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, because it's been around for a long time. And it's a lot of people aren't aware of it. And I think that a lot of people actually use some of the principles that they've floated to the surface under different names or just have kind of shown up, and people don't realize that it comes out of this, NLP. But when I say NLP, the people, they look at me with their eyes crossed going, what are you talking about? And then I've got to step back and do an explanation. But it's, I think that if you are in that type of a role, especially, and for me, in a business environment, NLP or neuro-linguistic programming, the value to it is that ability to establish a rapport quickly, to respect the way that the person you're talking to is communicating, and to communicate back with them in a way that they will most quickly understand. So if you can give us a little bit about that, I think that that's an important thing. And then, you know, maybe people can run off. And I know it's a big subject. So just an overview and something that might whet people's appetite to go out and find out more about it on their own. So when we come back, we're going to talk to Diane about that. We're going to break right now for a couple station IDs, and we'll come back and do the community calendar real quick. We don't have a ton of stuff today, so that'll be a short, and then we can get back to this discussion with Diane and learn a little more about NLP. So stay tuned.
Ottawa Valley in Canada. You're tuned to Portsmouth Community Radio, WSCALP Portsmouth, 106.1 FM. Hi, this is April Virch. Thanks for tuning in to Portsmouth Community Radio, WSCALP Portsmouth, 106.1 FM. Keep that fiddle music alive and stay tuned.
Hi, we're the Bad Boys. And you're listening to Portsmouth Community Radio, WSCALP Portsmouth, 106.1 FM.
Hi, this is Christine Lavin, and you're listening to Portsmouth Community Radio, WSCALP Portsmouth, 106.1 FM. And what were you thinking? You're listening, but you haven't joined the station? Come on! Call them up! Become a member now!
Hi, this is April Virch. Thanks for tuning in to Portsmouth Community Radio, WSCALP Portsmouth, 106.1 FM. Keep that fiddle music alive and stay tuned.
Hi, we're the Bad Boys.
And you're listening to Portsmouth Community Radio, WSCALP Portsmouth, 106.1 FM.
Hey, you're listening to Seago's Business Connections on Portsmouth Community Radio, WSCA 106.1 FM. I am your host, Mark Miller. I'm here today with Diane Durkin, who is the president of Loyalty Factor, and we've been talking to her about a bunch of things. We've been talking to her about how she sort of broke off from the corporate world into, became an entrepreneur, went out into the consulting world. We've also been talking to her a little bit about some of the principles that she teaches to corporations and companies who are looking to revitalize things, or maybe they're going through a merger and they need to bring groups of people together. So it's been an interesting discussion, and we're going to do the community calendar. But when we come back, she was just telling us about NLP, or neuro-linguistic programming, which is sort of a branch of science that can really help people communicate better. So she's going to give us the skinny on that. And I would really encourage you to stay tuned, and hopefully she encourages you to go out and explore that further, because if you're in that kind of a role, it's really one of those things that can help you along, and it's good for everybody to know about. But before we do that, let's go into the Portsmouth Community Calendar. December 1st, we have the eBrew. This is the monthly technology networking event that's at the second floor of the press room. And as I always say, if zeros turn you off, ones turn you on, this is the place for you. If you want to talk technology with other technology people and meet people in that industry, this is the networking event that you want to be at. So December 1st at the press room on Daniel Street in Portsmouth, there is no admission fee. You can just pop up there from 5 to 7 p.m., have a few drinks, meet a few people, pass out some business cards. Who knows what kind of connections you're making, what will happen out of that. And the other thing that I want to remind you guys is that on the 2nd, so that's on Thursday. It's the first Thursday of every month, and then the first Friday of every month, we have the midday meet. So that's December 2nd this month, and that's at the Roundabout Cafe in Portsmouth. This is a networking event, a facilitated networking event, where you can come in, you can talk about your business. It's a place to practice talking about your business concisely, so that if you're out in the world and you're networking and you need to let somebody know what you do quickly, it's well practiced. And then it's also a place to meet other professionals who are trying to do the same thing and make some connections. Even if they can't do business with you or they can't help you out directly, maybe they know someone who can. And I've been going to that event for a long time, and a lot of great connections have been made for me. So if that is a goal of yours, that's a place that you should be. Roundabout Cafe, right here in Portsmouth, off of the traffic circle, and that is this Friday, December 2nd. And one of the connections that I made at that recently was a connection with Diane Durkin, who is my guest today. And I saw that she had a couple of books out, and she talked a little bit about what she did, and we had a conversation after the midday meet and decided that she would be a great guest, which she has proven to be so far. And so those are the kind of things that can really happen for you at the midday meet. So without further ado, let's talk a little bit more to Diane. And Diane, when we went on break here, you had sort of thrown out this term NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, kind of, in the midst of another discussion here. But I wanted you to zero in on that a little bit and give the audience an idea of what that is, because I think it is really valuable in business, especially in those sales in the call center situations. And I also think that not a lot of people know about it. Some people, right. I'm sure, do. But it's just, you know, and when they do know about it, if they don't quite understand it, maybe it's something they feel like they can't use. I really believe that training like yours is what it takes for somebody to implement the techniques and philosophies. I don't know how you would put that, of NLP. But can you just give us a little bit of an idea of what it is and what it would do for somebody trying to make those kind of connections on the phone or in person?
Sure. First of all, it was... believe it or not, designed by a physicist and a scientist who were trying to figure out how they can build that connection with people within the first 10 seconds. And you wouldn't expect a physicist and a scientist to come up with a communication technique.
That's a funky group right there. Yeah,
right. But they wanted to figure out how they were in their analysis mode of trying to figure out how can we make a connection with people in the first 10 seconds. So they started investigating communication techniques. And what they found is that, you know, 55% of our communications is the body language or the physiology.
Sure.
You know, the eye movements, the, you know, the way we carry ourselves, those kinds of things. 38% is really the voice. And only 7% is the words. So it's not what you say. It's how you say it. And we all have heard that. But
sure.
They put, you know, the statistics around that. Well, NLP goes into, I mean, there's different segments of it, and there's a lot involved, actually. But on the physiology segment, it's the body language. And you can figure out if you're in rapport with someone else, and this is great for salespeople, by the way. We teach a lot of this in the sales courses that we teach. If you're getting your point across just by the way the other person is responding with their body language. And you can move your body language to reflect their body language. And if they move, then you know that you've gotten your connection. And you know that you've made your point. If they're not moving in the same ways that you're moving, that means you're not getting your message across. And you need to change the terminology of your message, change your body language, change how you're delivering your message.
So use you and I as an example right now. And I know it's difficult because I actually have tasks and things I have to pay attention to over here. So I may disengage from you, but it's because I've got a reason to. But, you know, just in the way that we're sitting right now, and I'll just to give people an idea, right now, Diane's sitting in her chair, her knees are together, her feet are together for the most part. She's got one elbow leaning on the desk, one elbow leaning on the arm of the chair. She's angled slightly towards me, about a 45-degree angle towards me, making eye contact, and you know, she's reaching up a little bit because she's got a microphone that she's got to hit. And then, so how am I sitting in relation to how you're sitting, and what do you think that says about our...
Well, we're almost in duplicate. I mean, you've got your elbow on the desk as well. You've got, and then you've
close
got
enough.
Your,
yeah, I've got a soundboard on the desk, right. So I've got to use my rest.
And you've got your arm on the chair, on your other arm. Our legs. I mean, I'm not cross-legged. You're not cross-legged. Our feet are crossed, but we're.
Your feet were crossed.
Yeah.
You're moving them around on me?
Yeah. So the reality of the situation is we are in connection.
Right.
And we are in rapport.
Right.
And, you know, it's very casual conversation. And normally when I do this, I'll have people do a very easy exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And within 10 seconds, sometimes maybe if it's a long group, 20 seconds, you will see that connection with people.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't even realize it.
Right.
They're like, oh, my God. And I said, did you do this consciously? And of course they say, no, we didn't do this consciously.
Yeah.
It just happens. People like to be in connect with one another. And so that's the body language piece of it. The other piece is, as I mentioned, the voice. We've all been in a situation where, you know, you listen to somebody's voicemail, for example, and they'll say, you know, this is Mark. Leave me a message. Or, this is Mark, you know what to do, leave me a message.
Right.
Well, what do you do in that situation? You just leave a very brief message.
Right.
Versus, this is Jane, you know, I hope you're having a good day, you know, I'm sorry I'm not here to get your call, love to talk with you, give me a call back. What do? You leave a longer message.
Even if they say, leave a brief message and I'll get back to you. You start at the beginning of your day when you leave a message.
Right,
yeah,
right.
For sure.
And if their voice goes up at the end of the message, like, you know, hope you're having a great day, you'll probably say, hope you're having
a great day too. Yeah.
And, you know, it's amazing how our voice, our volume, our pace, our pitch, the speed of our voice builds that connection with one another. Mm-hmm. Now, people do this at a very subconscious level. If you start doing it at a conscious level, when you're talking to people, all of a sudden, you're going to see that connection.
Right.
I had one client one time where a number of his people said, Diane, we don't understand how you have this great connection with Kevin. And I was, well, it's really easy. You know, he was a big military man, came from the Marines, and always would say, Kevin here. And that was his way of doing things. So when he answered the phone, he goes, Kevin here, I'd say, Diane here. And he'd say, oh, Diane, how are you? And all of a sudden he'd bring back. So it's
the
that way,
down,
it's the welcoming and that welcoming connection.
Now, and do you have to be that literal? Like if you call me and I say, Mark here, do you have to go Mark here? Or if I go Mark here, can you go, hi, it's Diane, and be a little different?
I could be a little different.
Okay.
Yeah. But you want to sort of...
But you want to be in that same ballpark.
In that same ballpark. You don't want to match it exactly. Because if you match it, and you've seen this happen with people that get in arguments, you know, all of a sudden they're like, well, I don't understand what you're doing. Well, you don't understand what I'm doing. And you start getting the
Right.
So you want to come in just below them or just above them.
Right. You know, but you want to be in that area.
In that area.
And do you ever get people who... would go like, why are you doing everything? Like, you know, why are you copying me, basically? Like, does that ever kind of happen? Or is there precautions you take so that doesn't happen? Or does it just not happen?
Every once in a while, people may do that, but very rarely. Because this is such a on a subconscious level that people don't even recognize the fact that you may be mirroring them. It's called mirroring.
Right.
As opposed to copying. And that people don't recognize it. And you don't do it at a very, you know, obvious level, so to speak. Mm.
So if I'm a business person, we've kind of touched on this, but now kind of quantify that. What does that mean to me if I'm, you know, if my, for my company, I'm supposed to be making, you know, 55 or 80 outbound calls a day and making connections and trying to, you know, I've got some goal when I'm making the call. I'm trying to make a sale or I'm trying to set an appointment for somebody or I'm trying to do something. What is that ability, understanding that? And obviously on the phone, it's got to be just the voice part of it because they can't see your body. What is that going to do for me? What am I going to see?
It really start seeing people connecting with you. For example, I had a call this morning with a woman, and she had no idea who I was. And she says, oh, I don't handle that. That's not my area. We got to talking, and we started mirroring one another. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the call, she says, well, you know, I'm available on Monday. Why don't we plan to get together? And it was just all a matter of mirroring not only her voice, but also her words.
Right.
Okay. Because the words are really important as well. And that's a whole, that gets a little bit more complicated with the words. But, you know, a simple thing is we've all heard of visual people. We've all heard of auditory people. And we've all heard of kinesthetic people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happens is visual people...
I can do it or you can do it, but just define kinesthetic real quick in this context.
The feeling types.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
so somebody who processes based on like an emotion versus thinking of things visually or something like that.
Right.
Okay, all right.
But what ends up happening is people, if they're visual, will use visual verbs. For example, somebody will say, exactly, this isn't clear to me.
Right.
Whereas an auditory person is going to say, I don't understand what you're telling me.
Yeah, or that doesn't sound right.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
And the kinesthetic person is going to say, this just doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
Or my gut tells me this isn't right.
Yeah.
Well, if they're saying my gut tells me this isn't right, and all of a sudden you say, well, let me show you how this is going to work, you are not connecting.
Not connecting, yeah.
Okay, because you're showing, you're visual, and this person is...
Feeling. Gotcha.
So it's, and that's how you connect with people. And you do that over the phone as well. It's amazing. Or you can do it in email. Email is a very valuable way to figure out how a person connects.
So I think that's all interesting. It sounds like, you know, I feel like I'm in the first 10 minutes of a course here, that this could just go on and on and on and on and on and exercises and all that. And unfortunately, we only have like 10 minutes left. Too bad we couldn't extend the show an hour. And I want to get to a couple of other things. First off, you know, I want to just bring up, and I want to do this a little delicately, but it almost sounds a little like manipulative to do this. You know what I mean? You're sort of tricking people into falling into this rapport with you. Is that? I mean, how do you feel about that? Is that what you're doing, or do you see it in a different way?
No, it's not manipulative at all, and I get that question a lot.
Yeah, so. I'm sure you do. That's why I wanted to throw it out there, because right. I think
it's
people
more
are probably thinking
about understanding and the other person and really showing a direct interest in the other person.
Okay.
When you use the other person's terminology, they all of a sudden say, oh my gosh, this person really understands what I'm saying.
Gotcha. So it's more about respecting the way that they communicate so that you can do it effectively versus trying to trick somebody or whatever, right. whatever else you would throw on it.
You're exactly right. It's okay. all about the respect.
Gotcha. So now you've got a couple of books as well. And I want to get to these, and we could keep going on the NLP thing, I think, forever, but I want to switch gears and get to these books, and they probably tie in a little bit. But you've got two books that you've written?
I do.
Well, go ahead and tell us what they are.
The first one is called The Loyalty Factor, excuse me, Building Employee, Customer, and Brand Loyalty.
Okay.
And that has a whole lot of examples in it of companies that have done it well. As well as the process of how to build employee, customer, and brand loyalty. And the whole premise of that book is that your employee loyalty drives your customer loyalty, which drives your brand. If your people aren't happy, they're not going to come across well to your customers, and that's not going to build your brand.
Right.
The second book is called The Power of Magnetic Leadership. It's Time to Get Real. And I use the REAL acronym as it's recruiting the right people in the right place at the right time. E is engaging, empowering, and enriching your employees. A is appreciating them. And L is providing the leadership so that they will give you the loyalty in the long term.
I like it.
So I've gotten a lot of great reviews on it. In fact, it just got a 5-star Clarion review.
Nice.
Which has really been great.
How long has that book been out? That's your
came
second
out,
book?
That's my second book. It came out in May of this year.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's a good feedback out there.
It was great to get that feedback from an independent agency.
So talk to me a little bit about what are the things. I mean, I think that the topics of the books are very interesting. And I would imagine some of this NLP comes into play, and it probably more than that, right? This is one of your tools that you have, everything that we've just talked about in these books. But also from the point of view of an entrepreneur, from the point of view of somebody who is starting a company, or who's starting, you've started a company, it's 15 years old. This is a really kind of a fantastic marketing tool as well. It's a really a way to get your name and your philosophies and demonstrate value before somebody even knocks on your door. Can you talk to me a little bit about the process? Like, where did that idea come from, and what did it take to get from the point of view of thinking, hey, I should put this stuff into a book, and then actually having a book out there that Clarion has given 5 stars to?
Well, I've always
because
wanted,
it's a seems like a daunting task. Yeah, is why I ask.
I always wanted to write a book, and I was very fortunate. The New York Times did a full-page spread on Loyalty Factor on the company on September 13th of 2001. And that was 2 days after September 11th.
Wow, yeah.
And we were on the front page of the circuit section. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe, you know. What ended up happening was on that particular day, the New York Times tripled its circulation.
Oh.
So I was in the right place at the right time.
Holy moly.
And I ended up getting calls from 3 different agents wanting me to write a book.
Oh.
So that kicked off the first book. It took me 2 years to write it, but
so you wrote the first book through an agent?
Yes, I did.
And then the agent found you a publisher and you published.
Right. Okay. Exactly.
And that's The Loyalty Factor.
That's The Loyalty Factor.
All right.
Book.
Go ahead.
And then the second book I decided to do about a year ago. And I decided to do it on my own and self-publish it.
Okay.
And that has actually been exceptionally well received. And right now I do a ton of speaking engagements around the magnetic leadership.
Okay.
Keynote speeches and so forth. There's 2 areas that we really have begun do a lot of keynotes on, and one of them is magnetic leadership, and the other one is managing and motivating a multi-generational workforce.
Nice.
Because everybody's so got that issue.
You can actually draw a direct correlation between that book and in business.
Yes.
And bringing business in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you self-publish that book, generally speaking, the big difference is that you've got to do everything versus having an agent that helps finds a publisher for you. Then you've got to publish in a publisher and an agent that are helping you market the book, get the name out there, da 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 da. When you self-publish, you've got to do all that yourself. How was that for you? Did you find that was manageable? And what did you do? Like, how did you
initially
tackle that?
Initially, it was a daunting task, but then when you get online, you find out there's a lot of self-publishing companies,
mm-hmm.
and they have a really good infrastructure in place, many of them,
mm-hmm.
to help you along the process. They help you design the cover. They help you do the layout of the book. They will even do some marketing things for you for the book and so forth. And so they've taken on a lot of what the agents used to do. You have to be intimately involved with them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you cannot just let them go and do it. And that does take a lot of time. I found that I do a lot of the first book I wrote between 4 and 6 in the morning. And I do a lot of that type of work mm-hmm. between 4 and 6 in the morning. And even the cover of the new book, we weren't happy at all with what the covers were that they were coming up with. And finally, I just designed it and had a person up here actually help me design it. And we just gave them a mock-up and they...
Is that a Portsmouth company?
Yeah, it was out of Maine, actually.
Oh, out of Maine?
Yeah.
Okay.
But helped to design it and put it together. But, I mean, you got to stay on top of it
mm-hmm.
because it's your calling card.
Yeah.
And it really represents you and the way you want to be seen. But I would highly recommend the self-publishing process.
And why is that?
Well, when I had the agent made the decision and the publisher made the decision on the first cover. It wasn't exactly what I wanted. It was not a cover. If you had seen it in the bookstore, you would have said, oh my gosh, I would never buy that book. We did the second edition of the book, we were able to change the cover and make it
that
much more
better.
Vibrant. And it's definitely done much better.
Gotcha. Well, that's... I just think that's an incredible endeavor. And I think that, you know, a lot of people that I talk to on this show, it's amazing the different sort of creative directions they take when it comes to marketing. But I think in this day and age, sticking with the traditional marketing paths is just not enough. And if I go back to what you said in the beginning of the show, which was that you've got to decide what you're good at, you've got to decide what you like to do and marry the two, that when you're looking at marketing yourself or your business, that's not a bad philosophy either. And it seems to me that that's what you did in these books. You're good at sort of telling people how to do something, right? Explaining how to do something. You probably figured you were pretty decent at putting it on paper as well, you know, which some of you may not be. So if you're not such a great writer, the book's not the way to go. But then, and then all these things kind of came together for you to launch, and with the help of an agent who called you up and said, hey,
right.
You want to do this, you know.
Yeah. It's really a combination. I mean, you really got to know what you do well and understand what you do well and then farm out the stuff that you don't do necessarily well.
Right. Which, again and again and again, when we talk to entrepreneurs, that's one of the things that they always say is you got to know what you can do well and what you can't do well. You need to bring other people in to help you do. You know, you can't be a jack of all trades and expect things to always go well. Well, listen, Diane, it was very nice having you on. It was a great conversation. I really appreciate, especially sort of bringing this NLP information to light here. If people want to get a copy of one of your books or get a hold of you, what is the best way for them to do that? And I will put some stuff on the fan page as well.
Okay. They can reach us at our offices at 603-334-3401 or through our website www.loyaltyfactor.com. And by the way, as a result of being on this show, the first 3 people that call our offices today will receive a free half-hour consult with me.
Excellent. So we'll make sure that phone number is on the fan page so that in case they're driving down the road, they don't have to try to write it on their sleeve.
Exactly.
So we'll get all that information out for you. Thank you very much for coming in, Diane. I look forward to seeing you at another midday meet.
Okay.
And I really enjoyed hearing about all that you do.
Thank you.
So This has been Seacoast Business Connections. Up next is the Redhead Spins the Blues, and I'm looking at her right now.
I have taken over the studio already. I've got Jake Rochin live today from Lit on the Flash, formerly of Jeremiah Fried. So he's going to be doing a lot of his acoustic solo stuff. And
I just heated up your mic, Jake. You can say hello back and do it again.
All right, hello.
There you go. There he is. There's the man himself.
So you want to stay tuned for that.
All right, great. All right, Redhead Spins the Blues coming up next. Programming on Portsmouth Community Radio is made possible by you, our members, and by our underwriters, which include the New Hampshire Gazette, Daystar Computer Services, the Portsmouth Herald, and the Press Room. Stay tuned. Redhead Spins the Blues coming up next.
Seems for me the party's been long over and done. And I know you're out there having your fun, but I'm just fine with my tea for one. Well, I'm just fine with my tea for one.